optimistic. People are sadistic, so vicious and malicious. Praying for assistance to overcome opposition, or I'm gonna start resisting and then I'll pray for forgiveness.
Oh, one day, I hope you see the truth.
All right.
This puppet show will save.
Good evening, guys. This is Jess Weber for a different episode. A testimony that I need to tell. I've been calling this. I've been trying to determine when I was going to do this podcast. This is going to be a most likely a five-part series of my whole testimony about how I beat Crohn's disease and other diseases that came along with it. A lot of you know, we all have our own secrets. And this was my hidden secret. This was something that I hid from the world or from my outside life. You know, I hid it from certain people and now it's time to kind of tell you what happened during this whole process of my life. So it's not political today. This is all about, I just want to tell this story. I'm going to be doing this one every Sunday for the next five Sundays about how I beat Crohn's disease. The series is called Killing Crohn's. So if you are looking it up and you want to know what it's called, it's going to be Killing Crohn's Part 1, the beginning. So we're going to go back to when I was 14 years old. I started suffering from indigestion. You know, diarrhea as a little child, 14 years old, cramping at 14 years old. And my doctor, you know, or at the time we thought it was dairy. I thought like maybe I'm lactose intolerant. So we got the lactate pills. And yeah, maybe it worked for one ice cream here and there, but it progressively just didn't work. You know, it just didn't do anything. So, you know, a year goes by. I see the doctor again. He thinks I have celiac disease. So that's where you're really sensitive to gluten. So I cut out gluten my entire, you know, for the next 2 weeks and I felt great. And then it still just wasn't great. Still had major issues with my diet. So in, a few years later goes by, you know, I'm still suffering. I'm having cramps. There's blood, there's diarrhea. It's bad, right? This is Crohn's. This is a hidden disease. A lot of people suffer with today. And then the next time I go to the doctors and they finally do a colonoscopy on me and they say I have Crohn's disease. So I didn't know what Crohn's was. Obviously, I kind of looked it up to see maybe possibly what it could be. I don't know. But I guess how I was explained to it was the inflammation of the small and large intestines. That's where my Crohn's was. That's where it was being inflamed and the food that would touch that particular section of my intestines, it would pretty much swell up, right? It'd be allergic to whatever I'm digesting. So the food would pass through and then the intestines would swell up. And it just happened for probably all the way till 2016. But back then in 2001, it was just constant cramps. You know, it hurt there. It was a mild Crohn's. They put me on this drug called Pentessa. And you know, still suffering with pain all the time. I was fighting through it. I knew if I ate bad, I was going to pay for it. And I was eating bad all the time. I couldn't figure out what to eat. You know, I was eating, maybe chicken nuggets was probably like the safest food, but it doesn't help with your, you know, eating Lucky Charms every day. So the diet was bad. Eating canning was bad. You know, I didn't know. Obviously everyone's telling you need to do this. You need to do that. I didn't listen. Because because it was such a hard habit to break as a child and as a young adult. And I suffered for a long time, all the way into college. I suffered out of college, you know, just going job to job, you know, getting through life. Had safe jobs. You know, I didn't I had jobs where I could be okay, where I could quickly go to the bathroom if I needed it, or I didn't have to worry about my boss being concerned about anything. You know, I worked for friends and stuff like that. So I was like a mechanic for like 6 years and, you know, did construction, but, that was majority of my life was just thinking that I, you know, even though I have Crohn's, it's mild, but still suffering all the pain, throughout the whole process. So, all the way until 2009, it started getting real. I had an abscess inside the anal canal. Yeah, this is, we're getting detailed here. I'm telling you the raw truth. The story I haven't told in a long time or never told it. I had an abscess and it's from, you know, you're putting pressure on that area all the time from trying to go to the bathroom. When your intestine is swelled up like that, you're not going to be able to go normally, right? It's very stressed out in that area. Plus, I was very highly stressed at the time and also just being stressed in general, just trying to get through life because of this disease. Now, keep in mind, in 2005, I started doing hydrocortisone, which is a pain medication. Percocets, Tramadol, you know, not Tramadol, not yet. But I was on pain pills. I was taking 4 pain pills a day. You would take them every 6 hours. And I believe they were 10 milligrams, maybe 10 milligrams. And this would also dry you up to make you be hard for you to go to the bathroom. So obviously I was on a Miralax. So I was taking 17 grams of Miralax twice a day. And I was doing that my whole life for a while, all the way till 2019. But back up to the abscess. I had the abscess, had surgery, they drained it, everything was fine. Okay. Then I moved to California. All right. Moved all the way to California, took that road all the way to California. And it was a big risk to drive all the way to California and relocate and start over. In New York, where I used to live, I was trying to pursue acting, and that's why I wanted to move to California. I couldn't do everything I wanted to do in New York. It was a lot of horror films, a lot of independent stuff, nothing where it could take you off. So I had to go to California. I went to California to pursue the dream, right? As soon as I got to California, I moved into my apartment, very highly stressed there. The people that I was living with, I don't know if they were criminals or what, but it was very sketchy. And I had to move quick. So I moved again. And after that move, I had a blood clot in the lung. I had an EP in the lung. Now, keep in mind, I was a smoker. I did smoke cigarettes since I was 14, smoked a pack a day since I was 18. And I was smoking a pack a day every day. I've always heard the stupid stuff like, oh, you know, smoking helps calm the stomach and stuff like that. So just dumb stuff like that that you do hear as a smoker. Should have quit a long time ago. So I got a blood clot in the lung. And sure enough, that was it for me. Almost died there. They thinned out the clot. I guess it passed. I don't know how it passes, but it did. And I quit smoking. I vaped for a tiny bit back then. It was 2010, 2011. I vaped these little cigarettes. They actually look like a cigarette, and you would it was just nicotine. And I did that for like, I don't know, a few weeks. And I quit smoking. I quit smoking 2012, February 26 is the exact day. I remember putting it out on the back porch. I remember even smoking a cigarette, even when I had my blood clot. When you have a blood clot, you can barely breathe. You're like, it was painful. And I remember still trying to smoke a cigarette. So, after that, that was like the downfall to all the way till 2019. In 2012, I had a major surgery. It was a surgery that students worked on me. A doctor was supervising students, at the crappiest, hospital in California there is. It's mostly where all the homeless go, where everyone has no money goes there. I had no insurance, so I just went. You know, I was always in pain. And this time I felt that abscess form again. This time it was in my butt cheek, right? And the doctor, he's like, we're going to perform a fistula surgery. A surgery where they will, they said they were going to drain the abscess and go from there. But they did a surgery, which was this insane surgery. I never agreed to it, but it's some fistula surgery where they stick a rubber band in your anal canal. Yep. Right here, bad. Into your inner wall and then out your butt cheek to form pressure on the abscess of your butt cheek. And this is all from Crohn's. This is a side effect from Crohn's disease. If you don't nip Crohn's disease in the butt now, this is where it starts to go, okay? This is one of the major side effects from Crohn's disease, okay, is having a fistula. And this is from straining. This is from sitting on it. This is just constant. Everything is pressure down there because you just can't go all the time. You can't go correctly because you have inflammation in the stomach and you're not eating correctly and your body's rejecting this food and it's just not good. So I had this fistula, right? And I had this doctor do it, you know, and or the students were under the doctor that did it. And it was like their first time doing it. Anyways, I'm in the emergency room. They had to pack me. They had to put packing in the fistula, and it was very painful. They did it while I was like, you know, I'm like, I want pain medication for this. And they gave me pain medication, but that still did not do it. So they packed me and then they were done. And then an hour later, they came back like, oh, we're supposed to unpack you. We weren't supposed to pack you. So this is the kind of treatment you're getting. They're just guessing. Okay. I'm telling you this story. Because if you have Crohn's right now, you need to nip it in the butt. And that is also the theory. This is also the main focus of this, why I'm telling the story. So, also before this major surgery that I had that changed my complete life for the worst, I was always going in and out of the hospital. I was in the hospital for pain. I had cramping in the stomach and they gave me medication and, the pain medicine is Dilaudid. Oh, I loved Dilaudid. Loved it. You know, morphine. Loved it. I was already on pain medication. There was many times where I would run out of pain medication and I have to go to the hospital because the withdrawal was so bad. I felt like I was going to die. So I would go to the hospital, get my pain medication, get Dilaudid, get whatever, and then hopefully get a script. And I get a script and then so on. But anyways, before I moved out to California, my doctor set me up with all my medication. I had literally 6 months worth of Pentessa, 6 months of endocrine, 6 months of all my meds, right? I even had 6 months worth of pain medication for me. I got robbed on the way of California. So you got to remember, I had no medication, starting all over in a new city, and I had to get into the system in California. 2 years fast forward, I finally got through the system. They started giving me a pain medication called Tramadol, which did okay. And I took away the pain, but it also took away the withdrawals. So 2 years into this hell in California, suffering from this disease, just having this first surgery called fistulotomy or whatever it is. It's a fistula surgery. You know, seitan, it's called, they put a seitan on you, right? Goes in the butt cheek wall, and then out your butt cheek, right? To bring pressure on the abscess. So you have an open wound on your butt, right? Now, this is where it gets really detailed. You're leaking in your butt, right? I'm telling you, Crohn's is no joke, okay? This is a major side effect from Crohn's. You're leaking in your butt, right? You have to wear a pad. You have to have paper towels. You're always cleaning it out. It's a mess. You got to have a job where you're sitting at a desk. And that's what I did. I had a job where I was sitting at a desk and I had a pillow under me. And anytime I had to go to the bathroom, it was right there. I didn't have to go anywhere. You know, I couldn't pursue my acting. Couldn't do any of that because I was fearful of, have to, get in different wardrobe or whatever, or working 18 hours a day or 12 hours a day. It's impossible. That's why I took a desk job for the first 2012 to 2015 15. Had a desk job, doing the viral video stuff, managing YouTube channels, selling videos to TV shows. That was like my main thing that I did for those years. And during that time, I was going to the hospital every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, I would go, and they would perform a fistula surgery, which they would take that seitan, take it out, drain the abscess, put a new one in, and that's it. Okay. They would perform this every 2 weeks for the next 6 years of my life. So every Friday after work, I'm in so much pain. I go right to the ER and get out by Sunday night. That was like the routine, or maybe possibly Monday, depending how bad it was. It was in constant routine. The doctor just kept doing it over and over. Same surgery over and over, put out, I'm taking propofol, the milk, the match, the Michael Jackson stuff. Remember that propofol stuff? I would take that every time I had surgery. Every time. I've had 60 or 70 doses of this stuff. This doctor kept performing the same surgery over and over. And then it got progressively worse. He had to add seitan. So now I'm up to like 3 seitans. So I got 3 holes coming out my butt cheek. One hole. So they're all going into one hole and then spreading out almost into 3 different holes. It's a fucking mess. Suffering the whole time. Haven't changed my diet. This is 2013, 14. It's just bad. And then 1 year there was I'm on blood thinner because of the blood clot in my lung that happened a few years back. And they didn't take me off the blood thinner because the blood clot came back when they tried taking me off. It was bad. So with the blood clot, there was a time where I was taking too much blood thinner. I was, when you have shitty insurance, you just don't have the best care. So I'm taking this blood thinner and I have to go to the doctors. I have to go into the doctors to get the blood results to see how much I'm supposed to take. It was just a whole process. And I guess that this time I was taking too much medication or too much blood thinner, or it just eventually got worse and I was bleeding internally. So I had a cane for like 2 weeks. That was a disaster. This is me fighting to work and trying to stay alive at the same time. I'm working, I'm trying to work and trying to figure out I got to work and just go to the hospital. I also would take my work to the hospital. I would take my laptop there, work on and looking for clips and stuff. I used to do it all the time. Because that was the demand that I had for this job, is that you had to bring in clips, and that's what we were doing. And viral videos, you know how they are. You have to bring them in right away because some other company will take that viral video and they will sell it. So I'm fighting for my life this whole time. 2013, 2012 or 14 goes around. 15, or 2014, I leave my one job or go to a new job. Same kind of work. And then something happens at this job where that's it. They said they let me go. They let me go at this job. And so I left and I was devastated because I love this job. This was an awesome job. We were bringing in viral videos for a company, and I guess they supposedly were going in a different direction, but that story, there's a whole nother story why I was let go. And it's all political too. I'll just tell a story too. So I was at a job where, I was bringing in clips and stuff like that. And at the workplace, they had a group called Black Screen. And it was a group of Black individuals that would get together and discuss how they can how to promote themselves in a company and in this company. And how to do, be a leader in the company, how to progress and stuff like that. It was a literally Black only club at my work. Okay. My boss allowed it. They allowed it because what are you going to say? Right. you're not going to go against it, right? And then you're racist. But what they can do is racist, right? So anyways, they had this this group, and I've never told this story before, but they had this group there, and my job was to bring in viral videos. And these viral videos would be very, you know, someone getting hit in the balls or offensive videos, racist videos, just bad, just videos that TV shows want to show on TV and then they make fun of. Like, you never seen Ridiculousness? A show like that, or a True TV where they would, you know, a funny video and they would make fun of it or whatever. So I had a list. My boss said to me, said, Jess, we're going to send your list out to all the people at the company. And I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea because the list of clips that I send out are pretty offensive. Well, he's like, don't worry, I will approve it and we'll go from there. So he approves this list. You know, I had some random videos on there. I had some risk, you know, racist videos, but that's what MTV was looking for at the time. So that day, you know, there's this program called MailChimp, and MailChimp sends out this email and it sends it out for you. And I use this, you know, I use it because it's through our work, and it got sent out three times that day of all days, all times. I'm like, it got out three times to everybody in their mailbox. So most of these people are, you know, delete, but the third time, I must look at it, right? So they looked at the video, and someone in that group of black screen saw one of these videos. And it was a racist video. It was a gentleman that was in blackface wearing a blonde wig in the hood rapping gay jokes. That was the video, okay? They were so offended by it that they're like, whoever sent out this email should be fired. Well, my manager approved it, so shouldn't he get fired? But he was number fourth in this company, so they weren't going to fire number four guy, right? No. So they said, they're going to let me go. We're going in a different direction. You know, they let me go. So I left. And it was the biggest blessing in disguise. You know, you think your whole life is over, you're destroyed, but this was the biggest thing that ever happened to me. That was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, is getting fired from that job, because it totally just let me really just focus on my disease, trying to beat Crohn's disease. It was very, very, it was painful at the time, and I didn't know where I was going to get money from. I had no idea where I'm going to get any money from. You know, this is also stress on me. I'm like, what am I going to do? All right, I'll try to file unemployment. Maybe I'll get some money there. And that's what I did. I filed for unemployment and it worked and actually paid enough to actually pay my bills. So I wasn't that too stressed out. And then this was one of the days. Where I just, and keep in mind, I'm still going to the hospital. The day I got fired was, I went right to the hospital. I had a surgery, just so you know. I couldn't wait to get to the hospital. I was in pain so much. And I was, you know, having these routine surgeries over and over and over. And during this first year of being off work, you know, I'm getting a little stressed because I don't have, you know, unemployment only lasts a year. At the time, I think. And I don't know where I was going to get money from. My doctor's like, hey, maybe you should find a new doctor. I'm like, oh, great. Maybe I should find a new doctor. That's great. Thanks for telling me this. At this time, I had good health insurance. It was through my wife. God bless her. He said to get a different doctor, to get a different opinion. So I said, okay. So I got a different opinion from a new doctor. And she's like, I can help you, Jess. It's going to be three surgeries and possibly you'll be okay. So, you know, actually, you know, screw the whole five part thing. We're going to just tell the whole story. This is going to be one story. Shabam. This is it. So anyways, I get to this new doctor, and, She says, I can fix you in three surgeries. I'm like, okay. I put off this surgery. I'm like, I don't want to do this surgery. This surgery is no way. The surgery she wanted me to do is like, I can't do it. This is going to change my life. Like completely. Like, this is not going to be a normal life at all. You know, meanwhile, before this surgery that she wanted me to do, you know, I'm having tubes jammed right into my butt cheek, having a drainage, having a bag. I mean, you know, they were experimenting. I mean, it felt like at this point, some of these other doctors performing these different procedures, trying to drain this abscess because it just kept coming back. You know, even during the time getting up to this this big surgery that this doctor wanted me to have, I've also changed my diet. And that diet is a huge thing with Crohn's disease. A lot of people don't think so, but it is. Stop. It is. All right. It's not, don't, if anyone's with Crohn's says diet is not it, they're lying to themselves. Okay. I changed my diet. My diet was literally a protein shake in the morning. Well, oh man, this is the beginning, right? Protein shake in the morning. Let me back up. Celery juice in the morning. First thing in the morning was celery juice. No, wait a minute. Let me back up here. Protein shake in the morning. Afternoon for lunch, I want to go with chicken and potatoes, or chicken and rice and carrots. And then another protein shake. Sorry. Yes, that was the diet. Holy cow. It's been so long. The diet has changed since, and we'll get to that. Whoa, woman one. Will I say this live? No, this live will be deleted. But you can watch this on Rumble, Facebook, or the website, webersway.com, or our podcast platform. So it'll be out. It just won't be on Instagram. So anyways, my diet was a protein shake, chicken and rice, or chicken and potatoes, carrots, and a protein shake. Literally, that was it for the next 2 years of my life. Okay. I was doing that towards the end when I got fired or let go. Fired. I was doing that diet, which in essence, the Crohn's, literally where the inflammation was just pretty much scarred. Okay. I was still having issues, still having problems with the, I was fighting the most of the whole thing. I'm fighting the abscess now. I'm fighting that. That's getting infected all the time because once you go to the bathroom, feces gets in that hole and reinfects it. So it's a hole. That's why it's keep getting infected. And, you know, I'm not even fighting the Crohn's anymore. That pain has been gone ever since I changed the diet. Once you change the diet, the pain goes away. Your intestines calm down. It starts to scar up, but I'm fighting the fistula issue. And the fistula issue is just an issue where it's just not stopped. So I would go to the pool to calm things down there, you know. You're doing sit baths where you sit in a bathtub. It was a nightmare with me and my wife, you know. It was pretty bad. There was times where she had to inject solution into it. There was times where I had, surgeries, many surgeries down there with staples. It was just a mess. It was all the time, every 2 weeks having surgery, you know, coming back from the hospital. So the doctor said to me, like I said before, I can fix you in 3 surgeries. I said to myself, I can't do it. I put it off again for another 6 months. Finally, I, was on the couch. And I was in so much pain, wife's at work. I'm laying there and I'm like, God, I am totally surrendering to you. I am letting go to you. And I need you to save my life. This is, you know, this is the point of my life where it is just bad, right? I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm letting go, God. You know, I know you're going to help me with my finances, you know, and sure enough, finances came in, you know, I never knew that there was Social Security disability. I never heard of that. And sure enough, they reached out to me and said, Jess, we can help you out, figure out, you know, pay your bills until you get this nipped in the butt, literally. So that's how I got through that process. So a lot of people, you know, worry about, what am I going to do? I got to work and suffer. Now, there is some other options out there. There is help through the government. And I didn't know, but there is ways. If you have a serious disease like Crohn's And I had literally my medical records were literally stacks and stacks high. So I let go to Jesus Christ. I said, Jesus, I am letting go to you right now, and you are going to guide me into the end of this process. The next day I went to church. This was a Saturday. I said this prayer. Next day I went to church. I was going to church because I was going to churches, different churches, you know, looking for people to pray with me, the pastor to pray with me, or just looking for hope. Very got close to God during this time. And I went to a church. My friend took me to church, and she's like, we're going to have the pastor pray over you. Pastor prays over me. And I wish I would have remembered this pastor, because I really kind of, wish I could thank him for, he doesn't know who I was. It was the first time I was ever there. And the next day, I had a GI appointment, my gastro doctor. And he's like, hey, Jess, you got to have this surgery. And I'm like, okay. So I called my surgeon, the one that's done telling me to do the surgery. She's telling me you need these three surgeries. She's the first one. This is this big one. And I'm like, you know what? I'm ready. Let's do it. I booked the surgery. I was going to have the surgery in a couple of days or maybe a week or two. Had this surgery. Now I'm going to show you a picture of me when I was at my sickest. Now I do have obviously you can see me after, but this picture I'm about to show you is me before and after. So you'll see me at my sickest. This is right after that surgery, and I'm literally 120 pounds. And there it is right here, as you can see right here. Dang. Wow. Over here. Right here. And I'm skin and bones, as you can see. That's where I was. I thought it actually good. The after picture's not there. Good. And I'll show both of those pictures later on. But there I am right here. All right here. 120 pounds, soaking wet. Just had my first surgery. This is how bad I was. I mean, if you ever seen Auschwitz pictures of people going into the Holocaust, that's exactly what I look like. If you're wondering, if you're just listening to this. So skin and bones and the surgery, you might ask, what is this surgery, Jess? Well, the surgery is a colostomy bag. This is a bag that will, it's a bag right here. It's right here on your stomach. It's for the, small intestines. And I had a colostomy bag. And this is the surgery I did not want to do at all. This is a life-changing surgery for me. I know some people out there might have them like, oh, it's no big deal. To me, it was everything. This was like the end of acting. This is the end of everything. I'm never going to act. I'm never going to be able to do anything. So I had a colostomy bag. This is where I had a bag attached to my stomach, my intestines sticking out. The feces would go into this bag, and you had to change it. Luckily, I had great insurance again. Thank you to my wife. She had great insurance at that time, where I had pretty much, I could change my bag anytime I wanted. I had enough bags. I had enough supplies. They really set you up really well when you have good insurance. If you have bad insurance, I don't know what you're using. As a nurse, that was a tough decision for you. Yes, it was. Sexton Kim. So I had this bag on my stomach for a whole year. But that's not the whole gist of the story. Obviously, I stuck to my diet. I'm having my protein shake. I'm having my chicken and rice and back to a protein shake every single day. Protein shake consists of organic protein, peanut butter or organic protein, peanut butter powder protein, cinnamon, flaxseed. I did nuts. I did strawberries, frozen strawberries, cacao, And there might be some other ingredients I'm missing. But that was pretty much the protein shake that saved my life. And then chicken and rice and then another shake. I was doing this for the longest time. This would keep me away from any issues. So I had this bag on my stomach for literally a whole year, and it was a nightmare, trust me. You know, changing it, you know, having accidents. It all happened to me. It was bad. During this year, now the reason why I'm having this bag is so you're not going to the bathroom. Now, if you with Crohn's or with this fistula issue that I was having, is that it kept getting infected. That's why I was going to have surgery every 2 weeks, is because it kept getting infected. So the first surgery that I have, or after this surgery, remember, there's three big surgeries, the bag and then this next one. Now, during this bag surgery, I had a tube down my nose. That was a nightmare because I had bile filling up in my stomach. I had literally 500 cc's worth of bile. I don't know. It was just kept building up. I kept throwing up. I threw up on the nurse. It was bad. All right. This nightmare. It was a nightmare situation. And this tube, they pretty much almost break your nose, not break it, but it hurts so bad. And you got to swallow this tube and then it sucks the bile out. Nightmare with the first surgery. Second surgery, they have to close up the holes of the fistula inside your rectum. Okay. This is sensitive tissue, 20% chance of being a success. Remember, there's nothing coming out there anymore. That's why this is the only way to fix this issue down there. So she does the surgery. Huge success. Thank you, Jesus, for guiding her hands. You know, obviously I'm praying all the time for this. You got to remember, I am a religious person. Let me take that back. I've always believed in Jesus Christ my entire life. I just never got really too close to him until I was sick. But I've always been sick, so I've always been trying to be close with him. But when I got really sick, it was really pushing, you know, let's go. So after that surgery, to close up these holes, it was a success. It was a 20% success rate. She did it. She was like one of the best. So that closed up. We had to wait 6 more months to make sure it would completely heals up and everything's fine. So you get a colonoscopy, another one, they check it, make sure it's all the scarring's good. Make sure there's no more abscess. Obviously there isn't because there's nothing coming through that area. And then the next big surgery, and that is the reversal of the bag. I thought this bag would never come off, but finally, a year and a few months, it finally was about to come off. So they took, I went in, had this surgery, reversed it. Thank you, Lord. It worked, but then dang darn it, I had that tube down my nose again, sucking out bile, 500, it was just bags and bags of bile coming out. It was disgusting. Sucked it all out, whatever. Anyways, got through that. Nip that in the butt, right? Now it's time to really recover, right? Is the recovery is after the surgery. There was some tense moments after that where I thought I was going to ruin all the stitches or all the scarring because I couldn't go to the bathroom. I was so constipated from the medication I was on, of the pain medication and stuff like that. But we got through it. Thank you, Lord. Got through that. A lot of different things that we went through. We got through it. So after that, the next step was to get off pain medication. Now, this time, I have changed my diet since then. I have changed it to 16 ounces of celery juice in the morning. Also, you got to remember, I was on every medication you could think of for Crohn's. I was on Humira, Remigade, infusions, all the pills that you could think of. I had side effects for all of them, right? Dry skin. I had hiatal hernia. I had acid reflux, all that crap. I changed my diet to celery juice, 16 ounces a day, a protein shake, chicken and rice, protein shake. That was my new diet, right? I added the celery juice. The celery juice, I told the doctor wanted me to stay on Remicade. I said, nope, I am healed. I'm going to do celery juice. That's what I'm going to do. God gave me celery. I'm going to juice it. So I started juicing celery, and that has been my medication ever since. My new diet right now, believe it or not, a lot of people say you can't have nuts, but I have nuts every day. My new diet now that is keeping me in remission and keeping me away from ever coming back is celery juice, 16 ounces in the morning. I make my own homemade granola with walnuts, seeds, pumpkin seeds, almonds, you name it, cinnamon, it's all in there. For lunch, I literally only eat a granola bar that I make myself. Same batch, just, you know, I add a little couple more ingredients, more peanut butter in it, and that's it. For dinner, I'm just having chicken and rice. That is it. Chicken and rice every day. I've been doing it for the last 3 years since 2009, or 4 years since 2019. Juicing, celery, all that. Doctor wanted me on Remicade. So much side effects on Remicade. It's not even funny. You tell me I can't sleep, nothing. Now, in 2019, after the surgery, I finally wanted to get off my pain medication. There was no need to be on pain medication whatsoever, and it was time to get off it. I've been taking it since I was 14, or not 14, sorry, since 2001, been taking it all the way till 2019. My doctor at the time said that we have an experimental drug. It's called Lucemera. And it's a drug that can get you off pain medication. At the time, I was taking 250 milligrams of Tremadol a day, one pill for every 12 hours. And this Lucemera drug was going to make me a zombie for the next 11 days. So I take my main pain medication, take the Lucemera, and then you become a real zombie. Then slowly, progressively, throughout the 10 days, you're slowly getting off the Tramadol and still taking the Lucemera. At the last day, it feels weird. You're off it, both of them. You feel okay. You still have withdrawal. You still have runny legs. Your legs are they're running. You have runny legs, restless legs. That's what they call it. I had restless legs once in a while when I didn't have pain medication. I would have to take it and, you know, it would stop it. So this time, you know, you fight through it. You had to fight through it no matter what. This is where I can see a lot of people relapsing on pain medication is because they don't fight through this little part. And it literally lasts a few months of just a little bit of restless legs. That's all it was. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't, you know, I would get up and just run around the apartment and go back to sleep. You know, I just had to stretch out the legs just to, you know, move them and whatever. Got through it. Thank you, Lord, again, for getting off pain medication. I was on it for 15 years or more. So now I am on one drug right now, and that is a blood thinner. My doctor says to me that I could technically get off it if I wanted to. But the risk will be 50% instead of 90% of not having a stroke. But this is the thing. They want to keep us on drugs or whatever. And I could take that chance to get off this pain medication or off this, blood thinner and, you know, and take my chance. The reason why I think was on this blood thinner is obviously I was smoking at the time. I had Crohn's at the time. So there's a lot of different things going on. All the medication I was taking, I was up to like 17 pills, including vitamins. So now I'm at the point in my life where I can actually be able to, I could cheat on my meals once in a while. I don't do it too often. Maybe once, twice a month, maybe. You know, I don't have dairy. I don't have any stuff that just, you know, that'll hurt my stomach or whatever. So it's finally over. This is 2019. It's over, right? I finally go back into acting and started pursuing that. And I did acting for a whole year in California, and it was progressively growing. you know, you're starting to meet agents and stuff like that. Your reel starts getting bigger. You start booking bigger roles. Even if, no, you might have been booked as an extra. They give you a line or whatever. It happens. And then COVID hits. COVID is, the pandemic that they had, that they put on this country and locked down the country. So this is another blessing in disguise as well with COVID, because I was pursuing acting, you know, I remember in some of these shows, it was like, what are we doing? This is like satanic stuff. You know, this is Illuminati stuff, what I'm doing. You know, this is sick, you know, stuff that I'm working with. You know, we see the devil, it's just like, what am I doing? I'm, you know, working for the devil here in Hollywood. COVID hits, everything shuts down. And during this time, you know, I'm just working out, getting in better shape, whatever. You know, obviously the government is telling me you can't do anything. You got to wear a mask at the gym. I didn't go. I stopped going to the gym because of the mask thing. Acting finally opens up, but they were only hiring SAG actors at the time. And few non-union. So I heard that, and then I was like, I'm joining SAG. So I took $3,000, bought my SAG card so I could try to work and try to make that back. Cause you could, it's very easy to make that back quickly in Hollywood. And then they're like, you got to get vaccinated. So, and that was the end. During this process, we were like, me and my wife were like, let's get out of here. 2019, 2020. We started planning to move to another state. Thank God that we did. Thank God everything turned out to what things came out to be. And now I'm sitting here in front of you in 2023. 190 pounds probably. Healthy as can be. I have not changed my diet. It's still celery juice. It's still granola in the morning, my homemade granola, a granola bar during the day for work. I have a different job. I don't do this. I don't do podcasting 24, you know, all the time. Yeah. I do a show every single night because I'm pushing myself every night to do it, to do the political podcast that I do, for Weber's Way and the Weber's Report and, me and Cam and, trying to get things going. And even, you know, I do a podcast with Gabby. She was the new host that I brought on. And I'm trying to do all that. But this was a story that I never told about killing Crohn's. A lot of people, kids out there, have Crohn's today. And their parents don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you one thing, parents. You keep giving them all that medication, they will eventually get worse. You keep giving them medication and the diet that is not going to help them, they will get worse. You can give them medication and a clean diet, they will still get worse. That medication is not helping at all whatsoever. I took Remicade, did nothing. And they're telling me, you can go back to your regular diet. My doctor told me after I had my surgery, Jess, you can have a regular diet. And this is my GI. I didn't even listen to this GI guy. I was like, forget you, dude. You can have a go back to regular hot dogs and hamburgers if you want to, Jess. I'm like, yeah, right. Sure, buddy. Sure. Even if I have one of those right now today, yes, I might be okay. That's because I'm doing a clean diet. But if I have it every day, I'm getting bad. It feels bad. It's just, no, not good. It's my body telling me to not do it, to not go back to that way. And I think it's also one of my thing in my life. Sometimes we go through things in life where you're supposed to tell that you've suffered. I suffered 20 years of my life being sick. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to tell is this story tonight. I've been putting off this story for a couple of years now. I didn't know how to present it. I shot lots of footage of me working out, showing my old diets, thinking this would work, that would work. You know, I shot all this old footage of this stuff, and maybe one day I'll put this into a better package for people that really need help with Crohn's and what I did through the process. So you can skip the entire process and get healed today. Number one thing that people do with their kids that that have Crohn's to this day is that these kids, they tell, you know, they let these kids eat crap, you know, chips, gummy bears, they're on whole milk or they're eating bread, all the things that will cause inflammation in the stomach. So the thing is, what happens is that parents, you know, they look for help, you know, they'll go to a doctor and what can they do? And the doctor's like, well, we can give them medication and they can go back to a regular diet. And they might do that for a little bit long. And then all of a sudden they'll have another attack. The kid's in pain, an obstruction in the stomach, and it's all over again. They're back in the hospital trying to figure out what to do. Let's switch the medication. Let's increase the medication. Let's give your kid pain meds. Now the kid's all jacked up on meds, and that's gonna screw up with them. They get the side effects, eczema. They get blocked up. They have to take Miralax. You might start getting clotting issues, and you might get set all these different issues. You got to change the diet. You have to change the diet, parents. I don't care that I'm not a doctor. I don't care that I'm not a nutritionist. I don't care about any of that. I'll tell you one thing. It works. Get your kid, if it's a young kid, get them on like 8 ounces of celery juice in the morning. Empty stomach, 8 ounces of celery juice. Okay. Don't do the granola because they're not ready for that. Okay. Do oatmeal. Okay. Oatmeal with lactate milk, oat milk, or something that is non-dairy. Lactate milk might be a little borderline. Maybe oat milk, something safe. With the oatmeal, applesauce with the oatmeal, soft foods. You got to remember, they got to go on a soft food diet, okay? So you got the celery juice, 8 ounces for a little child. Someone older, obviously you get 16 ounces. Wait 15 minutes, then you have your oatmeal, right? Now the tricky part is lunch and dinner. What do? Chicken and rice is a safe bet. It's soft foods. Think of something soft and healthy during the day. I really do encourage the protein shake. I really think the protein shake would be the best thing to have for lunch. You get some clean Orgain protein powder, chocolate, whatever. But just straight alone, just that protein, it's going to be disgusting for the child. Okay. Just so you know. It's chalky, you know, it's not the best. Pure protein is not, you know, a lot of people, they make proteins and they just only use the powder. I have a recipe that will make kids eat, drink it all day long, okay? I had flaxseed in it. I had peanut butter powder in it, cinnamon, cacao, and the protein, and then frozen strawberries. I did that twice a day and when I was my sickest. But when these kids, you're going to have to do oatmeal with bananas and applesauce and oatmeal. It was actually really good. Then you're going to the protein shake. And then you're going to rice and chicken for dinner. That is it. This diet will change your child's life. This diet will change anybody's life that has Crohn's. I can almost guarantee it. But I can't say that I can because I have to put a disclaimer saying that whatever I say cannot diagnose or cure any disease. But I am living proof. You have to be dedicated. You cannot lie to yourself and say, oh, I've been doing the diet and it did not work. Make sure that you have Crohn's and make sure it is a section of your intestines. I also want to say this too. After I had my last surgery, I totally forgot about this. After I had my last surgery, they did cut out a foot of my intestines that was scarred up, that would never heal. Okay. Yes. No beef. Okay. Someone asked, no beef. Yes. No beef. They cut out a foot of my intestines and I believe they took out my gallbladder too. One of the two, spleen or gallbladder, one of them. Maybe not my gallbladder. Maybe it was my spleen. It took out the large intestines and something else. I think it was the spleen. I think it's one of them. Or no, appendix. I'm sorry. The section of my large intestines and my appendix, they took out. That was just that scar part. Now, the person that you, that might have Crohn's today, depending on how scarred up that section is, now it's very possible if you change your diet, that will scar up and it might be just useless. It depends where it is. But we're trying to prevent you from going down the road. This is possible. If you change your diet now, it's very possible for it all heal up. Your body is fighting gluten. You have to remember the bread today in America is high gluten. If you're going to eat any bread or any flour, or just any flour made, it has to be made with double zero. Okay. Double zero flour is the best flour. Comes from Italy. That's what they have. You can go to Italy and eat pizza and bread and pasta and you won't be full. You won't feel full. In America, you do because it's so high gluten. There's a lot of things that I've learned over the years of why I changed my diet. And I'm sorry if I don't mention it all, but those are one of the things. That's why I stopped eating bread. Okay. That's why dairy causes inflammation. There's too many chemicals in our food that causes inflammation. You got to stick with organic, clean food, clean oats. You can get organic oats. You can get gluten-free oats. It doesn't have to be nasty oatmeal is the biggest loading dose of glycerified so darn trash ruins your 100%. Yeah. Well, that's not that Patty mayonnaise. You have to get gluten-free oats from organic essentials. That's where I get my oats from. Where do you get your flour? You can buy it online. It's double zero flour. You're looking for double zero. And I know oatmeal could be gross, but you have to have a soft food. You got to go with something soft. Okay. And healthy, something healthy and soft. Maybe you just do, I don't recommend fruit in the beginning when someone has Crohn's because you can't really digest it. You can't really digest salads or vegetables that well. It has to be soft steam. So oatmeal was the safest thing for me. Okay. Yeah, and the oats you want to get organic essentials. I get my oats. Oh, you love oatmeal. Okay, Patty. But I'm just saying, I know what you're saying with other oats, like don't get Quaker, they have pesticides in it. This is you got to get away from pesticides. I'm telling you, pesticides has probably just killed us. And you also got to think about why was there so many Crohn's commercials? Like literally anytime you were watching TV back in the last past 10 years, it was always Hemera, Remicade, and then now I got they got some new Crohn's ones now, you know, the injections or the infusion. Why do you think there is? I have a theory on that. I'm not going to talk about that. We'll talk about that some other day, but today is about getting yourself in remission and curing yourself. So changing your diet, parents, for the kids and yourself, if you have Crohn's, change the diet. You cannot cheat. You cannot cheat on your diet whatsoever. If you do, you're just, it's dumb. You're not going to get anywhere. So again, where do you buy your oatmeal? Organic Essentials, GG Pinky. You can buy a 50-pound bag, which I do, because I make granola and I make granola bars. So that's why I plow through 50 pounds like no tomorrow. I might take a month or two, but I'm just saying I do plow through it, all right? Costco does sell organic oats, and it's gluten-free, but it's just not as good as Organic Essentials for some reason. I don't know. It was just very different taste. It was a weirder taste. I can't wait until that batch I have right now is gone. I'm going back to Organic Essentials to get my oats. It is expensive. I mean, it's I believe it was $114 for a 50-pound bag. I believe it was. Besides that, so if you guys have any questions or want to know what state, you know, if you're at a certain stage with Crohn's and you know your medication or whatever that you're taking and have questions, feel free to reach out to me with any questions. We'll come on a video call and we'll talk about where you're at, what's going on. But if you really just want to know the answer and what I'm going to tell you, it's pretty much celery juice in the morning. Juice it fresh. You can get organic celery at Costco. As much as I hate Costco, you can get these bags. They're like $5.99 for a bag of celery. You can get 32 ounces out of one bag. Thanks. What store do you buy from? The oatmeal and the flour. The oatmeal, again, organic essentials online. The flour, you can pretty much get it anywhere. Just look for Double Zero flour. You can get it on Amazon. glyphosate is the devil that is soil. Water, bread, milk gets tested. For any questions, DM me. Okay, good. But we're not saying to drink milk and the bread should be Double Zero. But you should probably stay away from gluten in general if you're going to change your diet completely. So anyways, you change your diet. So basically, I'm going to tell you, get on celery juice, do an oatmeal with bananas and applesauce, with non-dairy milk with that, or however you want to eat your oatmeal. Go with a protein shake in the morning. I have a recipe for that. And then at night, go with chicken and rice. That is the safest thing that you can do. All right. The safest thing. If you're allergic to certain things, we'll just take out those ingredients. But the most of the time we think as Crohn's people that we're allergic to it is not true. It's because you're eating like shit and you think what you just ate is the problem. And a lot of us did that. We would eat a burger and we had lettuce on it. And we'd be like, it's the lettuce. The lettuce is the one that's making me ill. No, it was probably both, because lettuce has pesticides all over it and the beef is no good for anyone that has Crohn's. So bananas are okay with oatmeal. Yes, I think it actually, because you're looking for soft foods. You want to stay on a soft food diet for a while to heal your intestines. I'll tell you one thing, I'm still on it to this day, the same diet I'm telling you right now, on it to this day. You got to be on it. Or else it could come back. I'm not risking it. What I went through for 18 years, what I went through, I'm never going to go back. How about sprouted bread? Sprouted bread. Why does that sound familiar? Oh, you're talking about spelt bread. Spelt. Listen, Letty, get away from bread whatsoever. Don't even have bread. There's no reason for you to have bread. Did I mention any bread in this diet? No, no bread. You know that. Get away from it. I know you're trying to be like, well, I want that bread and I'll put my meat in it. No, stop. This is what is so tough for people, is to break their diet. It was so hard for me to go from eating Lucky Charms, chicken nuggets and fries and Subway every day. And that's what I had back in 2014, thinking that was a good diet. It's a horrible diet. I thought putting cucumbers and spinach on it would be really good. No, it was really bad, especially from Subway. Okay, caffeine. I know we all have to work and get away from spelt. No, I know it's a safe flour. Just stop with it. Just go. Just don't even deal with flour. Don't even deal with bread anymore. I'm sorry. This the caffeine ish. Okay. Some people drink coffee. I believe I don't drink coffee. I don't know what that. I don't want to talk on coffee because I don't know anything about coffee. I don't know what it can do, but I don't take it. You have to remember, a lot of these people don't have energy because when you have Crohn's, you don't have energy because your body's not absorbing the food and the nutrients to keep you going. So I do not recommend the drink I'm about to show you. And this is an energy drink by The Rock Zoa. As I've discovered, there's sucralose in it and a alternative sweetener, which is no good. I thought it would be a good drink, but we have reached out to the company. We have talked to them about changing the ingredients. So we will hear back from them and let you know if they will do anything. Also, it contains no juice. So we're going to try to change that. I'm always looking for a healthy energy drink or healthy something, the way to get some caffeine in me, because caffeine actually, really did help me out a lot. yeah, it can make you go, but it also can make you go as far as work and get be productive. Did you ever tow a Camaro? A friend takes it until this day because she wants to keep eating whatever she wants. She's an idiot. I'm sorry. I did take Camaro. Camaro does not work. And it does not allow you to eat whatever. You're still ruining your intestines. If she wants to, listen, Letty, if she wants to really take it serious and not have Crohn's and be in pain and stop taking medication, there's side effects from Humira, and I'm sure she has it. If she wants to get clean or whatever, contact me. I'm not selling anything. I'm not trying to say, hey, talk to me for a week and pay me a $500. No, I'm not doing it. I do this for free. I don't care, because I think you guys being healthy and knowing the truth of what I did, it could possibly help you. So that's why I'm doing it. Okay. Other than that, that is pretty much the full story in a short story. The story is very long. I'm probably missing a lot of times where I was in the hospital for different things, drugs I've taken that helped me and did not help me. All the ups and downs that I went through, ambulances coming to my house, a lot of different things that I went through, you know, just even personal stuff throughout my life, you know, how hard it is to even to date, to have Crohn's, being married when you're having Crohn's and relationship stuff like that. That's also difficult, things that I went through as well. I have the best drink I ever made. I send you to you. How does this work? You can DM me. I'd like to know what drink you're drinking. There's a drink called, in Japanese, it's matcha, I believe it's called. Matcha. It's a green tea. It's really good. I believe I might start taking that. My wife she was just in Japan. She brought this drink home. It's unbelievable. Anyways, if you have any questions, please contact me at contact@webbersway.com. If you have any questions, if you want to get on a video chat, I'm more than willing to talk to you as long as you want to change. Or if you just want to have questions and talk about, your child or yourself that has Crohn's and what stage you're at, I'm willing to talk to you. I will take time out of my day to talk to you on the phone, or FaceTime or whatever. And we can go from there. Because I know I'm missing a lot of stuff in this story that could help you, but I'm just telling you the final results with me right now. Healthy as can be, you know, I work 12 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week. I am nonstop. I am a machine. And I also do a daily podcast every single night. Because we are in the good fight. And we know what that fight is, but that's for a different podcast. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening to me today. This is the full podcast of Killing Crohn's. Instead of writing, I will change the title. But thank you for listening. Thank you. If you have any questions, again, reach out to me at contact@webbersway.com. We will talk and discuss of where you are. How about stop with the bread? No more bread, Letty. Stop. No more. People, this is how I was. I was exactly how some of these people were. You know what I mean? Like, oh, what about this bread? What about this meat and that bread? No, you can't have it. So stop trying to stop making up stuff like you think you should do. No. What about Lucky Charms and the non-dairy milk? No. What about Red Bull? No. What about, can I drink? No. Can I smoke? No. Okay. No more drugs. No more alcohol. It's done. If you want to get back and healing, get with the Lord Jesus Christ and change your freaking diet. All right. I'll see you guys later. And remember, Jesus is coming. See you later, guys. Thanks for listening.